नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 7 श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट नंबर 26 यस्य साक्षात् भगवती ज्ञानदीपा प्रदे गुरौ मर्त्यस्याधीश्रुतं तस्य सर्वं कुञ्जर शौचवात्. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the spiritual master should be considered to be directly the Supreme Lord because he gives transcendental knowledge for the enlightenment. Consequently, for one who maintains the material conception that the spiritual master is an ordinary human being, everything is frustrated. His enlightenment and his Vedic studies and knowledge are like the bathing of an elephant. Purport: it is recommended that one honor the spiritual master as being on an equal status with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sakshat dharitvena samasta shastra. This is enjoined in every scripture. Acharya mam vigyaniyat. One who considers the acharya to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should consider the acharya to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In spite of all these instructions, if one considers the spiritual master an ordinary human being, one is doomed. His study of the Vedas and his austerities and penances for enlightenment are all useless, like the bathing of an elephant. An elephant bathes in a lake quite thoroughly, but as soon as it comes out on the shore, it takes some dust from the ground and strews it over its body. Thus, there is no meaning to the elephant's bath. One may argue by saying that since the spiritual master's relatives and the men of his neighborhood consider him an ordinary human being, what is the fault on the part of the disciple who considers the spiritual master an ordinary human being? This will be answered in the next verse. But the injunction is that spiritual master should never be considered an ordinary man. One should strictly adhere to the instructions of the spiritual master, for if he is pleased, certainly the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya aprasadan nagati kutopi. Yasya sakshat bhagavati jnana deepa prade gurau, mrtyasya dhi shrutam tasya sarvam kunjara sauchavat. The spiritual master should be considered to be directly the Supreme Lord because he gives transcendental knowledge for enlightenment. Consequently, for one who maintains the material conception that the spiritual master is an ordinary human being, everything is frustrated. His enlightenment and his Vedic studies and knowledge are like the bathing of an elephant. So in this chapter, entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Srila Narad Muni is giving the most important of all instructions. In the previous verse, Narad Muni has emphasized to Yudhishthira Maharaj on the acceptance of Guru. And only when one accepts the spiritual master in his life, then all the remaining qualities which Narad Muni has explained to Yudhishthira Maharaj till now automatically starts manifesting. Because when one comes in touch with Guru, an authorized bona fide representative of the Lord, then the process of devotional service begins. And once when the process of devotional service begins, all the qualities, best of all the qualities, which are not just found in human beings but also in demigods, start manifesting in that person who is completely surrendered unto his spiritual master. But in the previous verse, Narad Muni emphasized that one should accept a spiritual master. But in this verse, in which we are reading now, Narad Muni is explaining one of the fallacies. Fallacies in being in the association of Guru. And that same Guru who can take you from this material realm and transport you to the spiritual realm can also get you down, not just on the material platform, but down to the hellish planets. So therefore, this verse is most important verse, and it is the basis of all the basic principle of all those devotees who are practicing the spiritual life. So before we proceed ahead, before we try to understand that what is Guru Aparadh, let us understand actually what or who Guru is. Because unless and until you understand who Guru is, you cannot or you may not know how to deal with him, how much careful you should be, and what should be your line of action in when you come in touch with the representative of Lord Guru. So yesterday when we were addressing, Prabhupada in his lecture was mentioning who is a spiritual master. He was explaining that how in the beginning of creation, when Lord created from his from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, came the, from his navel came the lotus flower, sprouted that lotus flower, and from that lotus flower came the first living entity, Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma was completely bewildered because there was no one except himself. There was nothing to see. Completely bewildered, not knowing what to do, what is his origin from, what is the purpose of his creation. But then he hears the two words, tapa, ta and pa. And he performs or engages himself in tapasya. And it is after long period of performing such austerities, the Lord actually manifests. And then Prabhupada explained that the whole knowledge, it is not that Krishna spoke or gave that knowledge personally to Lord Brahma. All the knowledge was revealed in the heart of Lord Brahma, under whose direction Brahma started making the secondary creation. So the spiritual knowledge was first manifested in the heart of Lord Brahma. And who manifested that? It is the Supreme Lord in the form of Guru, who is known as Chaitya Guru. And Prabhupada was explaining that when the same Chaitya Guru, who is there in the heart, there to guide the each and every wandering living entities, manifests outside, externally, for our eyes to become visible, he is called Guru. Therefore, Guru is not an ordinary person. Guru is an authorized, bona fide representative of the Lord. Therefore, being an authorized representative of God, his only goal or whatever Guru does, it's only for one purpose. It is for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord Krishna. And that he performs through so many means. And that is what we see in the line of our parampara. That all the gurus who have appeared in our parampara, they have served Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. How? Through their preaching, through their book distribution, through construction of temples, and so many other things. So a guru is always engaged in Krishna's service. And being always engaged in Krishna's service, there is not a time when he is not in connection with the Lord. And when someone is always in connection with that something, he always tends to accept those qualities and become like that. Just like an iron rod, when it is put in fire and remaining in fire for a long time, that same iron rod also assumes the nature of fire. And that same is the condition with the spiritual master. His only engagement, his only thought process, his only activities in life of a guru is to please Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And therefore, when we say that Sakshat Dharitvena Samasta Shastrair, that one guru should be worshipped as good as Krishna, then this is what it means. Because he has been constantly in touch with Krishna, he assumes or he becomes like Krishna. And that is his potency, and he manifests like Krishna. And therefore, guru should not be taken ordinary or cheaply. Because the moment we consider guru to be an ordinary person, then atheistic mentality or Mayavad mentality comes in. Because through guru, you start considering Krishna also to be an ordinary person. Because when you consider someone in relation to an ordinary, then that connection is also considered ordinary, and that relationship is also considered an ordinary. Therefore, what a guru is. What is his position? Nikunja, you know, Ratikeli Siddhai, always, always arranging for the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Right? And that is a sign, a symptom of a guru by which you can understand his authority or his being a bona fide person. We see this whole temple. So many things have been created in this temple. So many things, right from chandeliers to this gold plating, AC and everything. Altar, so many festivals, so many dresses, so many, all these things. A guru arranges everything under his personal direction or through his representatives, his servants. For what? So that ultimately Sri Sri Radha Gopinath are satisfied for their pleasure. And therefore is always engaged. Once a disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, that Srila Prabhupada, can you explain the meaning of Nikunja Yuno Ratikeli Siddhai? And Prabhupada said, book distribution. Well, he was expecting from Prabhupada that Prabhupada will speak some esoteric pastimes deep into the eternal realm of Radha and Krishna. But Prabhupada said, book distribution. Go out and book distribute books. And then you'll understand this meaning. Externally, it may not sound something in connection. But if a person goes deep into the meaning of this, he can understand that through book distribution, what are we doing? We are trying to glorify Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And we are trying to get more and more devotees, more and more conditioned souls at the loving service of the lotus feet of their divine couple. That is Nikunja Yuno Ratikeli Siddhai. But, and one may say, that yes, guru is there, and we find so many gurus. Every day so many gurus are coming. So how to know who's a bona fide guru? A bona fide guru is he who's, as I said, his only focus in life is to spread the glories of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. As Prabhupada says, that Krishna says that surrender unto me, and I say surrender unto Krishna. I don't say that surrender unto me. He says surrender unto Krishna. That is the authority and bona fideness of a guru. And because, just like yesterday Baldev Prabhu explained, that why should one accept a guru? Because that is the basis. If one does not accept a guru, there is no hope for him. There is no hope for him, for that person. Because the only thing that remains for such a person who does not take shelter of a guru is to suffer here, rot in this material world. And that is the injunction of all the Shastras. Bhagavad Gita explains, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadakshyante te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshina. Then it explained, yasya deve prabhaktir yatha deve tatha guru. When one worships, when one surrenders himself unto the lotus feet of guru and worships him like God, on that same status as God, then all the Vedic knowledge, which are very difficult to understand, automatically starts manifesting in the heart of that person. Then it is said, tad vijnanartham sa guru eva bhikachet. So through all the Vedic literatures, as Prabhupada also mentions in this purport, that ultimately through all the Vedic literatures, it is emphasized that one need to take shelter of a guru. Because if we want to achieve the ultimate goal of life, and this process is available with the guru, and he has that authority. He is that franchisee who can give you this product of going back home, back to Godhead. So therefore, you have to be in connection. You cannot at any moment say, I can go back home, back to Godhead, or achieve the perfection of life without the shelter of guru. It is a must. There is no exception. There is no alternative for it. There is no point that you can say, I may or I may not. No, you have to, if you want that destination of life. That is how guru is important in life. But here, Prabhupada, or we'll deal with later on, one may understand the acceptance of guru, or the importance of guru, and he accepts a guru. But, as I said, there is a problem in this, as what this verse of today states. And what is that problem? That problem is, when you associate with guru, when you are far away from the guru, there is no problem. You always maintain that awe and reverence, that respect is there. But some or the other, you may call it as fortunate, to be fortune, or some may call to be a disfortune. Fortune to be in personal association of the spiritual master, and to serve him, to be under his guidance. So, but when that fortune is achieved by any devotee, then along with that fortune also comes a trap. When one disciple gets an opportunity to be in the inner circle of Guru, when a disciple gets an opportunity to serve the instructions or the instructions of Guru directly, then many times what happens is you may see Guru to be acting in a very contradictory way. Like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya was leaving for Vrindavan, he told that I am going to Vrindavan, sorry, for South India Yatra. That time Sarvam Bhattacharya was the last person whom Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met. And on the outskirts, when the last moment came, when Mahaprabhu was about to leave, when Lord Chaitanya went to meet Sarvam Bhattacharya to take permission, Lord Chaitanya was so pleased that he accepted the request of Sarvam Bhattacharya, that, "My dear Lord, please stay for some more days. I want to meditate myself on your lotus feet, worship your lotus feet, please stay here." And the Lord accepted his request, stayed for 5 more days. But at the end of 5 days, Lord Chaitanya said, "Now I have to leave." And when Mahaprabhu left, Sarvam Bhattacharya collapsed, he fainted there. So normally when we'll see someone, some near and dear ones, who have come to bid farewell to us, and if he collapses, then the immediate response is, we forget to cancel our trip and attend to that person. But Mahaprabhu did not even turn back to see what is the condition of Sarvam Bhattacharya. And he just left. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes, such is the nature of exalted devotees. Sometimes they are hard like thunderbolts, and sometimes they are soft like lotus flower. Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigyena Bhujaya. You cannot understand a guru. And when you see such things in our guru, in whose association we are constantly there, then there is tendency to get bewildered. You may see Guru sometimes getting angry. Yesterday I was telling that pastime that when Srila Prabhupada was in Delhi, and one rich lady had arranged a pandal program in Delhi, and 30,000-40,000 people were there in the pandal program, and some or the other in between, one skeptic got up and he started shouting, "Can you show me God? Have you seen God?" All these things. And Prabhupada would have answered his question. But Prabhupada also became so furious, he became so angry, and he started taking left and right to this skeptist. And seeing this reaction of Srila Prabhupada, practically all the major invited guests of that pandal program, they left. Even the organizer was very much upset. Why? Because they were thinking, he's a guru of the world, people call him Jagat Guru, how can he behave like this? A sadhu or a guru means he's supposed to be cool, he's supposed to be calm, he should not respond, he should never become angry. But then, and even the disciples, forget outside common people, those who came there, even the disciples got bewildered. But why did Prabhupada react like this? And when a disciple sees such things, there are many thought processes which begin in the mind. But then Prabhupada, after the whole session got over, pandal program got over, Prabhupada had to convince that why did he behave like that. So unless until we are back up with knowledge, there is always a chance for us to get bewildered. That why my guru, especially those who are personal servant. I remember once, one of the personal servant of Maharaj was supposed to go to a very important program, and Maharaj was supposed to be given his t-shirt to wear. And if you want to wear a t-shirt does not dry easily, immediately. So the servant, what he did, the t-shirt was wet, so he ironed it. Even though he may iron it to dry it up, the collars and wherever the cloth is very thick, that was still wet. And Maharaj was about to wear it, the t-shirt, and then he saw it wet and he was supposed to wear a dry one. He just folded it, wrapped it and threw it on the servant. So the servant says, "What is this?" He would have just called me and said, "I want another t-shirt." So such acts of a guru may completely bewilder us. That why is he acting like this? And you may think that I also react in the same way when I get frustrated. He is also reacting the same way. I also eat. He is also eating. He is sleeping. He is moving around in gamcha. I am also moving around in gamcha. He is taking bath. I am taking bath. When someone does not like something, he throws it out. without understanding that why he's doing, when we go on these external situations, one gets easily bewildered. And then, what happens? You tend to consider Guru as an ordinary person. Then, the moment this thought comes, that my Guru is an ordinary person, that is the time when the seed of offenses is sown. There may also be, and the other aspect is, to become envious of Guru. When you will see that Guru is being worshipped a lot, he is being taken care of many times, because that envy which is there in our heart, that envy for Krishna which is there right now also, because we are not completely purified, that may also extend. And when we come in the association of devotees, that envy is already manifesting in our association, in our dealings with our God brothers. And that also extends to one's spiritual master. So these are the traps in which a person may fall. And as Prabhupada mentions in this purport, that the relatives of a spiritual master may consider the spiritual master to be an ordinary person. So what is the harm if devotee disciples also consider the Guru in the same way? I think Prabhupada or Bhaktisiddhanta gives the example of naked Pancho. A small boy, when a boy is small, Pancho, he was moving around naked. And people used to call him naked Pancho. But when he grew up, he went to school, he came first in class, and when people were glorifying that he has come first in class, oh, he is naked Pancho. This man later on turned to be a very successful man. He became a big lawyer, judge. And still, those who are elderly, naked Pancho. And that is what happens. Normally when we also sometimes go, like our in temple, in devotee circle, people may address us as Prabhu, Prabhu and Prabhu. They respect us. But when we go home, mother will just say, hey, will call with us a pet name. She will not say Prabhu and your initiated name and all that things. Yeah? She will call with her old pet name in which she has raised you up. He or she, or mother and father. Only sometime when they understand that, no, no, my son has something now become something different. And when they see that people are addressing him and giving him so much respect, then the parents may also give him respect and call him with that name. But otherwise, out of pure love, mother may just call with a pet name. But that a disciple cannot imitate. Oh, see these people, they are addressing my Guru like this. So maybe my Guru must be like that. No. Your Guru might have been like that. But now, because of his connection with the parampara, because of his severe austerity, tapasya, he has completely been transformed. He has become non-different from Krishna, as equal status from Krishna. That is the trap in which a devotee or a disciple especially may fall into. And such things, when it happen, then the only result is fall down of a devotee. In late 70s, when this moon landing project was going on, at that time Prabhupada and all his disciples were sitting, his personal disciples, servants, were sitting in a room watching this moon landing going on. And when the whole session got over, when the TV show was over, Prabhupada said, they didn't go on the moon. It is all bogus. And that time, one of the personal servants of Srila Prabhupada, Purushottam, he could not accept that. He could not. He says, how can Prabhupada say like this? Because he was an American and he was very much into Americans doing such great, great things. And he said, no. How can Prabhupada say like this? Because he didn't have faith, first of all, in Guru, in the position of Guru. And therefore, whatever Guru said, he took those words very lightly and cheaply. And the result was, he started committing offense to such an extent that he left the association of Srila Prabhupada. Many times, when ISKCON Vrindavan was being constructed, many of Prabhupada's intimate servants, because that time money was not there with ISKCON, many of them had to go out to many countries to get money, even through all means. But when that money was enough, Prabhupada told the disciples, now please come back. Now we don't require any more, please come back. But because devotees got attached to collecting money, They didn't accept it. And what was the result? They were caught. And then Prabhupada said, I told them to come back. But they didn't listen to me. And they were put in jail because of some illegal activities. When you minimize the importance of your guru and try to seek someone else or something else, then also there is a problem. One disciple came to Srila Prabhupada and asked, Prabhupada, please give me blessings. I want to go to Radha Kund and I have to take shelter of this particular guru. I want to know my eternal Swarup, my Siddha Swarup. Please give me your blessings. Prabhupada said, I bless you to go to hell. Because when you minimize the importance of your guru and you minimize the teachings, what your guru is giving to you, the lessons which your guru is giving you, when you minimize that, then the only result is going to hell. Once a devotee was performing his Gayatri Mantra, was chanting his Gayatri Mantra, and Prabhupada happened to go from there. And he was busy chanting his Gayatri Mantra. When you see your spiritual master, it is Shastric injunction is that you should offer your obeisances immediately, whatever you may be doing. But he continued to chant his Gayatri. Prabhupada went ahead and said, very soon he will fall down. That is what happens when you disrespect your spiritual master. Consider him an ordinary person, taking him very lightly and very cheaply. And we see in the Shastras, so many examples are there. When you are in the association of Guru, that is the biggest benediction. Why? If you properly utilize the association of that Guru with proper understanding, then immediately from one realm, you can be transferred into another realm. Right? But if this mentality creeps in, envy creeps in, or offensive mentality creeps in, then that same Guru or that same process can completely take you to hell. We see from the first phase, when you come in association of Guru, what happens? And why actually, what happens when you take or follow the instructions of Guru and you take your Guru seriously? Because when you take your Guru seriously, Krishna takes you seriously. We see in Damodar Leela that the two sons of Kuvera, Manigriva and Nalakuvera, when they were cursed by Narad Muni because of their behavior, ill behavior which they were, and the way they were manifesting before Narad Muni, Narad Muni cursed them to become trees, the Yamala Arjuna trees. And what was the way of deliverance? That they will be delivered by Krishna himself when he'll appear in the Braj, in the house of Nanda Maharaj. So these two trees, Yamala Arjuna trees, were there for thousands of years. And by the mercy which came in the form of a curse, both the trees, Manigriva and Nalakuvera, they got an opportunity to see or witness the childhood pastimes of the Supreme Lord. And when this Damodar Leela took place, after Mother Yashoda finished binding up Krishna, and Krishna was all there, bounded to the wooden grinding mortar. And when he saw those two trees, Yamala Arjuna trees, Krishna thought of delivering them. And very beautiful verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna says, I have nothing to do with these two trees. I have nothing to do with them. But just because my pure devotee Narad Muni has decided to deliver them through me, I will deliver them. And then, thinking this, Krishna dragged the wooden grinding mortar, brought in between those two trees and pulled them down. And from them came these two effulgent personalities, Manigriva and Nalakuvera, and they were delivered. Now, what was the qualification of Manigriva and Nalakuvera? What was their history? But just because they accepted Narad Muni, yes, accepted his curse, and they were ready to do whatever, they were ready to rectify themselves, they got a chance to witness the Supreme Lord's activities and to be delivered by them. They attracted Krishna's mercy. Just because they surrendered to Guru, Narad Muni, that same submissiveness attracted Krishna's mercy. The second factor is, one has to be honest. When Dhruva Maharaj was on his way out in the jungle to get a kingdom more greater than his great-grandfather Brahma, Narad Muni intervened. Narad Muni tried to misdirect him, test him, are telling him, you are a small child, go back home, this is not the time for you to perform all these penances and tapasya, this is time for you to play around, you can come later on. But Dhruva was honest. And in his honesty, what does he tell Narad Muni? That, my dear great sage, I am so impudent that I am not taking your instructions positively. Why? Because my heart, the harsh words of my mother, my stepmother, Suruchi, has pierced my heart, and because of my heart has been completely pierced, your valuable instructions are not able to stay inside. They are draining out. And seeing this, and therefore then he says, my dear Narad Muni, my dear Guru, please advise me or give me some ways and means by which I can acquire my desired goal. So this simplicity and honesty to Guru later on attracted Narad Muni's mercy, and Narad Muni showed him the way. Even though it appeared that he was showing a way for him to achieve material benediction, right? In purport to that, Prabhupada writes that Narad Muni could have given him immediately whatever he desired, but he didn't do that. He told him, perform tapasya, undergo these austerities. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that the function of a guru is not to give material benedictions. The function of a guru is to see to it that his disciple achieves the ultimate perfection of life and goes back home back to Godhead. Therefore, Narad Muni so expertly devised the whole process in such a way that even though Dhruva was attracted for material benediction, that process led him to come in direct association of the Lord face to face. And then after achieving the benediction, or after receiving the audience of the Supreme Lord, what benediction does he ask for? That let me be in the association of your devotees who are always attracted to the fragrance of your lotus feet. And when he comes in touch with such a devotee who is attracted to the fragrance of your lotus feet, they are no longer attracted to families, to friends, to home, to wife, to wealth. So the same thing which Dhruva achieved can also be achieved by us if we can just stick to the instructions of our Guru Narad Muni and worship him as good as one's spirit, as good as Krishna. This is one aspect. And what is the other aspect? When you disobey Guru, when you consider Guru lightly, that is very beautifully depicted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Antalila chapter 8, where Ramachandra Puri, one of the disciples of Madhavendra Puri, what happened to him? So as we know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation from Ishwara Puri, and Ishwara Puri was the dear disciple of Srila Madhavendra Puri. And one of the god brothers of Ishwara Puri was Ramachandra Puri. So this Ramachandra Puri, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami very beautifully creates a whole scene of about his character and nature. That once, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying in Puri with all his associates, Ramachandra Puri, traveling all around, came to Jagannath Puri. Heno kale Ramachandra Puri Gosai Aila Paramananda Puri Are Prabhura Milila. Ramachandra Puri came to Puri, and there he met his godbrother Paramananda Puri, and all of them welcomed him. And after welcoming them, they embraced each other, offered their respectful obeisances to each other. And that time, Mahaprabhu was also there. He also respected Ramachandra Puri. Why? Because he was the godbrother of his spiritual master. And being the godbrother, he also has to respect Ramachandra Puri as good as his own spiritual master. So he offered his obeisances, and both of them embraced each other. But as soon as they started discussing, all three of them started discussing about Krishna. And that time, Jagdanand Pandit, who came there that time, extended an invitation to Ramachandra Puri to come to his place. And Jagdanand Pandit arranged a huge feast, prasadam, of Jagannath Prasad, and Ramchandra Puri was served with that Jagannath Mahaprasad. And he ate sumptuously. He ate sumptuously as much as he wanted, but then there was one bad quality of Ramchandra Puri. What was that? His tendency to find faults with the devotees. Even though he was a sannyasi, god brother of Ishwar Puri, by the time he met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he must have been an elderly person also. So in spite of being a sannyasi, in spite of being a devotee, having spent so many years in Krishna consciousness, still that fault-finding mentality could not leave Ramchandra Puri. And therefore, Bhiksha Kari Kahe Puri Shuna Jagadanand Avashesha Prasada Tumi Karoha Bhakshan. He said, now that you have fed me, O Jagadananda, now you eat. And he started feeding. And how he used to find faults? The process is given, mentions. Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami mentions that he used to request the devotees to eat. Agraha kariya tare vasi khavila. That he used to request them, come on, eat, eat, eat. Serve them in such a way and request them that eat more. Apane agraha kari pariveshana kaila. And he used to serve them. And when somebody sees and he hears this, he says, what is wrong? Such a good character, such a good nature. As soon as you see a devotee, you like to serve him more and more. Please, Prabhu, eat, eat, eat. Such a good service attitude. This is what all we are longing for. But that was not the end of it. That was the beginning. Because agraha kariya puna puna khaila, achmana kaila ninda karite lagila. He used to serve, feed them. But as soon as the person used to finish eating and do achman, then his process would start. What was that? Achman kaile ninda korite lagila. As soon as the person used to wash his mouth and hand, achman, he used to begin finding faults and criticize that devotee. And what was his criticism? How he used to criticize? Shuni, he says, I have heard. Shuni chaitanya gana kare bahuta bhakshan. I have heard that his devotees, his associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they eat a lot. Bhakshan, bahuta bhakshan, he says. Satya ei vakya sakshat dekhulu ekan. Till now I was just hearing it. But today I have seen with my eyes. Dekhilu nu sakshat. With my eyes I have seen this, that how the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are greedy. They are just eating and eating and eating. Right? Many times devotees, like when my mother came to the temple for the first time, she's telling, bas, tum log kuch kaam dhanda nahi hai. You all just chant and dance, and when you are tired, you all jump during kirtan, up and down, and you are tired, and then you eat like rakshas. And not only men, even women, they don't eat too much. But she was moving around, and she was telling, even women in your society, in your temple, they have a big pile of prasad on their plate. This is how the offensive mentality begins. And devotees, once I think Gaurang Prabhu in the JJ, he was telling when we the program, that when we cook prasad for a program, we cannot take into calculation what outside people eat. If in 1 kg of rice, if outside people eat 10 people, so then for devotees, you have to take it at 4 or 5. That same food can be eaten only by 4 or 5 people. That is how devotees eat prasad. Yeah? But this is not the thing, correct thing. Devotees eat prasad because they see it as remnants of Krishna, as Mahaprasad. That is why they are more and more eager to eat, not out of greed. But here, Ramchandra Puri is telling, Satya Ivakya Sakshat Dekhulu Nekan. And therefore, then he says, Sanyasira Eku Khayano Kare Dharmanash. He says, if a sannyasi starts eating like this, what will the result? His dharma will be nash. His dharma will be destroyed. Sanyasira eta khayno kare dharma nash. Vairagi hoya eta khaye vairagya nahi bhas. Feeding a sannyasi too much breaks his regulative principles, for when a sannyasi eats too much, his renunciation is destroyed. Because all of them, the eternal associates of the Lord and the Lord himself, were in the renounced order. And he also was in the renounced order. And therefore, he's telling, if a person in the renounced order eats too much, then what is the result? He completely his dharma, his ashram is destroyed. This was not as a way of correction, but it was a way of blasphemy. Etata swabhavatara agraha kariya. And then Kaviraj Goswami says, this was his swabhav, this was his nature. What? That initially he would insist, agraha kariya, he would request that please eat and eat. An opposite person, even though he may not feel hungry, he says, because he's requesting so much, let me eat. And that would be the trap for Ramachandra Puri. Etata swabhavatara agraha kariya, piche ninda kare age bahuta khaiya. He would feed them a lot, and when that is over, this fellow eats so much. He wants so much. He wants this gulab jamun, he wants that, this. Every time, just whatever the bucket comes, the only action is this. Just put, even, he does not, the mouth is so full that he cannot even speak, that give me more. He just put it. This is how Ramchandra Puri used to blaspheme. But then Kaviraj Goswami goes into the backstory that why did Ramachandra Puri develop such an attitude to blaspheme or find faults in the devotees. And he says, Purbe abe Madhavendra korena antardhan Ramachandra Puritabe oilatarasna sthan. He was telling that when Madhavendra Puri, Purve, long back, when Madhavendra Puri was on the verge or at that stage of giving up his body, that time also Ramachandra Puri came there. He came there, and what did he do? Puri Gosai Kare Krishna Nama Sankirtan. Because Puri Gosai, Madhavendra Puri, was on the verge of giving up his body, and he knew the essence. What was that? To remember Krishna always, and especially at the time of death. So Puri Gosai Kare Krishna Nama Sankirtan Mathura na painu bole kore na krandhan. Because a devotee, as his nature is, however advanced is, he will never say that I saw Krishna. I have seen Krishna. He Radhe, he Brajadevike, he Nanda, Shuno Kuta. Where are you, O Radha, O Krishna? Are you on the banks of Jamuna? Are you in Govardhan Hill? So a devotee, as he advances more and more, though because in his feelings of separation, he always, the mood is that he has never seen Krishna, he's always longing to see Krishna. And that same mood was adopted by Srila Madhavendra Puri. Even though he was such an exalted devotee, the Kalpavruksha tree of the spiritual world descending, for the first personality in our entire Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara to establish Radha Tattva. Such an exalted devotee, what is his state? What is lamenting? Mathura na painu. That I have not even reached Mathura, I have not even come closer to Mathura. How can I see Krishna? Mathura na painu bole kare na karandhan. And that time, when Ramachandra Puri heard this, his Guru Maharaj crying like an ordinary person, like a neophyte. When a neophyte has a tendency, you know, I am so fallen, I am this, I am that. And when Ramachandra Puri saw this, his Guru Maharaj talking like this, as I said, Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vigyana Bhujaya. What did Ramachandra Puri do? Ramachandra Puri tabe upadesha tare shishya hoya guru ke kohe bhaye na kare. He's telling Ramachandra Puri tabe upadesha tare. He started giving instructions to his spiritual master. This was the seed of offense. Here was the seed of that mentality of fault finding and offense was sown. He started instructing his spiritual master. Like many times, I have been fortunate enough to be in the association, close circle of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, especially with that garden project, Vrindavan Forest. And so many times, myself and Vasudeva Prabhu, when we were with Maharaj, and that is the nature of Maharaj. Maharaj, whenever he proposes something, he will always ask for opinion. What do you think? What is your suggestion? How things should be? He will never say, come on, do this. And then the disciple will think, oh, see, my guru is asking for my opinion. Let me give my instruction, valuable instructions to him. This is, again, a sort of trap, you know. If you are not properly backed up with knowledge, if you are not guided by a senior authority, senior siksha gurus, then you may take such words very cheaply. Right? And when Maharaj says, what is your opinion? What do you think? It should be like this, it should be like this, it should be here, it should be there. And then you may give your valuable instructions. No. You may give. Because he's asking, you may give. But there is a way to reciprocate with that question. When he asks, what do you think? Then the answer should be, yes, my dear Guru Maharaj, I think it should be like this. I think it may look good here. I think it may like that. You cannot say, no, Maharaj, it should be here, it should be here, it should be here. You got to instruct your Guru. And that is where offense begins. And for Ramchandra Puri, that was the beginning. He started instructing his own Guru. And Shishya Hoye Guru, he was a disciple. And what is telling? Oh, my dear Guru, don't become fearful. Don't be afraid. Don't cry. Is this a disciple supposed to do with his Guru? To instruct that don't be... Guru is supposed to make you fearful. Guru is supposed to make you fearful by taking you back home, back to Godhead. How can you instruct Guru that don't become fearful? And then, Tumi Purna Brahmananda Karaho Smaran. He's telling to his Guru, Tumi Purna Brahmananda Karaho Smaran Brahmavita Hoyakeno Karaho Rodan. That if you are in full transcendental bliss, he said, you should now remember only Brahman. Why are you crying? This shows how advanced Ramchandra Puri was. Even though he was a Vaishnava, whose ultimate summit, ultimate conclusion is to service to Radha and Krishna, to consider the personality of Godhead and to experience that Premananda, not Brahmananda. Here he is advising his Guru to experience Brahmananda and to meditate on impersonal Brahman rather than crying out Mathurana Painu. So one cannot instruct one's Guru. And Prabhupada states here that, as it said, as one advances, one becomes na soshati na kankshati. Brahma bhuta prasanna atmana soshati na kankshati. And then you see Madhavendra Puri is soshati also and kankshati also. He's crying and lamenting. Does it mean that he was not situated on the Brahman platform? No, he was much above the Brahman platform. He was not just experiencing Brahmananda, he was experiencing Premananda. And the symptom of that Premananda is separation. When you are in Prema, when you are in the spiritual world, none of the personalities in the spiritual world have that mood of union. Parakiya bhave jaha brajate prachar. The only mood of the spiritual world is parakiya bhav, is separation, mood of separation. And that same highest ecstasies were being manifested by Madhavendra Puri. But Ramchandra Puri, because of his ignorance, he was trying to get his spiritual master down to the level of Brahmananda. And then he started instructing him. Shuni, and when Madhavendra Puri heard this, any devotee will get agitated. And he said, Shuni Madhavendran mane krodha upajila. He became very angry. But anger started arousing from his heart. Dura dura papishta boli bharsana kohila. He said, get out from here, you rascal. He chastised him. He said, hearing his instructions, Madhavendra Puri greatly angry, rebuked him by saying, get out, you sinful rascal. Because how can one tolerate such a nonsensical advice? Even if, as a disciple, if you had to give some good advice, then Madhavendra Puri would have considered it. First of all, he is making the audacity to instruct the Guru. And that also such an instruction which is completely against the principles of our philosophy, our tattvas, our principles. Completely rejected him, got angry and said, get out from here, sinful rascal. And here Prabhupada writes that Ramchandra Puri was not sufficiently expert to understand the feelings of Madhavendra Puri. But nevertheless, one may not be very expert. It's understood. In front of your Guru, you may not be very expert, not very advanced. But the fault with Madhavendra Puri was, Prabhupada writes, that Ramchandra Puri was not sufficiently expert to understand the feelings of Madhavendra Puri, but nevertheless, he thought himself very advanced. Because he thought himself very advanced, he had the audacity to instruct his Guru. Krishna na painu na painu mathura apanara dukhe maron ete dite ete dite aila jwala. He said, my Lord Krishna, I could not reach you, nor could I reach your abode, Mathura. I am dying in my unhappiness, but now this rascal has come to give me more pain. For a devotee to come down from his level of ecstatic feelings and to become an impersonalist is most painful. To consider or not to consider the personal form of the Lord. So that causes more pain to Madhavendra Puri than his death, than his leaving his body. And therefore, he's telling, he told Ramchandra Puri, More mukha na dekhi botui, yao yata thati, tora dekhi maila mora, haube asat gati. Says, get out from here, don't show your face to me. Because if I die, if I give up my body looking at your face, my destination, I shall not achieve my destination. I won't be able to go back to Godhead, seeing the face of a person like you. Krishna na painu mui maron apnar dukhe, mora brahma upadesha oichara mukhe. I am dying without achieving the shelter of Krishna, and therefore I am greatly unhappy. Now this condemned foolish rascal has come to instruct me about Brahman. This is Madhavendra Puri in his final moments. Eye Sri Madhavendra Shripada Upeksha Korila Sei Aparade Ihara Vasana Janmila. Then Kaviraj Goswami explains that Ramchandra Puri was thus denounced by Madhavendra Puri due to this offense. Gradually, material desire appeared within him. So when you disobey your guru, when you consider your guru lightly or cheaply, because he's always with you, he's eating, he's sleeping, he's joking with you, he speaks exactly like you, he comes down to your level from his exalted position, just so that you can relate to him, there can be service. Just because he comes to take such a low position, if one considers guru to be equal level with him, then this is what happens. However exalted one may be, automatically the desire for material sense gratification will take birth. And once Maharaj was explaining in Vrindavan, during Vrindavan Yatra at Kalia Ghat, that when somebody offends a Vaishnava Aparad, how does Krishna react? Krishna does not send him directly to hell or punish him. The first thing that Krishna does is, very subtly, Krishna does something. And what is that? He takes away his faith in the Vaishnavas, in Krishna, and in the process of devotional service. That faith which was maintaining him in devotional service, that faith which was engaged him in devotional service, Krishna takes away that faith. And when that faith is taken away, what remains? That faith had the power to completely subdue those material desires in our heart. It is not that once when we engage in devotional service, once we become Krishna conscious, all those desires are, we have become free from those desires. Those desires are still there in the heart, but as long as we continue, the desires are suppressed and more and more and more and more. But once your faith is slackened, the faith becomes weak, the power of faith which was pressing those material desires, when the faith becomes weak, then those material desires overtake that faith, and then they pull you down into the material realm, material activities, and the result is you fall down. And this is what happened with Ramchandra Puri, who was trying to instruct his guru, and instruct in such a way that completely different from what his philosophy is, completely different from what he's supposed to do. Material desire took birth in his heart. And because of this offense to Ramachandra Puri, to Madhavendra Puri, Ramachandra Puri maintained that throughout his life. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath. And then, what happens when the faith is lost, material desires come in the heart? One starts speculating. One starts speculating on the process. One starts speculating about the devotees. One starts speculating about Krishna. And that is what happened with Ramachandra Puri. Suksha Brahma Jani Nahi Krishnera Sambandh Sarvaloka Ninda Kore Nindeta Nirbandh. One who is attached to dry speculative knowledge has no relationship with Krishna. His occupation is criticizing Vaishnavas, thus he is situated in criticism. He becomes situated in his criticism. Criticism or criticizing Vaishnavas, finding fault with the Vaishnavas, becomes his secondary nature or becomes his primary nature. That is how serious is Vaishnava Aparad. And then Ishwara Puri goes, and at the same time, you'll see again that there is another personality, Ishwara Puri. He was also disciple of Madhavendra Puri, god brother of Ramchandra Puri. But you'll see, totally different. Both are at the opposite poles. Same time, Ishwarpuri came there. Ishwaripuri Gosai Kore, Shripada Sevan. Ishwaripuri came there and seeing the condition of his spiritual master, he started serving him. Ishwarpuri Gosai Kore, Shripada Sevan, Swahaste Kore Namala Mutra Di Marjan. Rather than trying to instruct his guru, what he used to do? Swahaste, with his own hands, he used to clean the mal and mutra, the urine and stool of his Guru Maharaj. Because by that time, Madhavendra Puri had become so weak, so old, that he was not able to move also to perform his daily activities, his personal activities. And he used to do all the activities on the bed. But Ishwarpuri, understanding his exalted position of his Guru, with his own hands, with his love and devotion, with the same and love and devotion in which a person may perform aarti or dressing of the deities, he considered Madhavendra Puri as his deity and started worshipping him by cleansing him of his urine and stool. And what was the result of that? Nirantare Krishna Nam Kareya Smaran. And while he was engaged in such a service, he was always helping his Guru Maharaj to remember Krishna. Nirantare Krishna Nam Kareya Smaran Krishna Nama Krishna Leela Shunaye Anukshan. At every moment, he used to make his Guru Maharaj hear the holy names of Krishna and discuss Krishna's eternal pastimes. That is what a disciple is supposed to do to his Guru. Help his Guru to serve. Help his Guru to serve Radha and Krishna. Help his Guru to expand the mission. Help his Guru to do whatever required for the pleasure of devotees. That is the duty of a disciple, to become assistants, so that the Guru becomes free from all the responsibilities and he can engage fully in serving Krishna, in his preaching mission. That is what a disciple is supposed to do. Disciple is not just supposed to sit and get the label that I am a disciple of so and so Guru. Disciple is supposed to assist. When we are doing deity worship, when we are going for dressing deities, the first thing we do is Manas Puja. And what is the basis of that Manas Puja? That my Guru is so busy, he cannot do that. So we are doing whatever we are doing, whether we are dressing, we are performing aarti, offering bhoga, that is on behalf of our Guru, because Guru has established all these things. But because Guru is busy in his service, we have to assist him and take his responsibility. And so that he becomes more and more, he gets time for his service. And that is what Ishwarpuri was doing. Ishwarpuri was making Madhavendra Puri always remember Krishna. By how? By always chanting the names of Krishna and discussing Krishna Katha. Krishna Nama Krishna Lila Sunai Anukshan. At every moment. Tushta Hoya Puri Tare Koila Alingan. And what is the result? When you satisfy and please your Guru Maharaj completely, what happens? You receive the mercy of Guru. And that is what Ishwarpuri received. Both of them, they came. Ramachandra Puri came and Ishwarpuri also came. But you see the results completely opposite, totally different, at two opposite ends. Here, Ishwarpuri, because he was so much pleased by the humble service, humble menial service of his disciple, dear disciple Ishwarpuri, he just, out of his love, out of his satisfaction, he embraced him. He said, Tushtahoya Puri Tare Korila Alingan. Then he gave him the benediction, Varadile Krishna Tomar. Hoy uka prema dhan. He gave him the benediction that he would be a great devotee and lover of Krishna. So this benediction, a devotee, a disciple can receive only through service. And many times we see, when you engage in some service, when you fulfill the desires of your Guru, automatically Guru will obviously embrace you. And when he embraces you from his heart, when he comes in touch with your heart, the love is exchanged. And that is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave knowledge to Sri Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami. He said, whatever was there in my heart, I have given it to you. Transfer. Spiritual knowledge, mercy, is not some external, something to be seen. It is a matter of heart. Something to do in connection with the heart. And Madhavendra Puri gave Ishwarpuri the blessing that you will become a great devotee and lover of Krishna. And then, Sehi hoite Ishwar Puri, Premera Sagar, Ramachandra Puri hoila, Sarvaninda kar. Now, Ishwar Puri became an ocean of love, Premera Sagar, through his service, and Ramachandra Puri hoila, Sarvaninda kar. He became the biggest blasphemer and criticizer of devotees. No, same sort, I said. Same guru can take you up and same guru can take you down, provided what is your way of approaching your guru. How you approach your guru, how you deal with your guru, that will decide what your status will be. Mahat anugraha nigrahera sakshi dui jane, ei dui dware shikhaila jagat jane. Ishwar Puri received the blessings of Madhavendra Puri, whereas Ramachandra Puri received a rebuke from him. Therefore, these two persons, Ishwar Puri and Ramachandra Puri, are example of the objects of great personalities, benediction and punishment. Madhavendra Puri instructed the entire world by presenting these two examples. Through these two examples, he showed that what happens when you receive the blessings of a guru and what happens when you receive the punishment of a guru. Jagat Guru Madhavendra Kori Premadhan Eishloka Paditeno Koila Antaradhan. And Madhavendra Puri, in his final pastimes, he started reciting a verse and then he left his body, giving this benediction to Ishwar Puri. And what was that? Oh my Lord, that famous verse, Ai Dina Dayadra Natha He Mathura Natha Kado Valakshaye Ridayam Twad Aloka Kataram Daita Brahmayati Kim Karomi Aham. He says, Oh my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? In this mood, in these feelings of separation, Madhavendra Puri left this planet. Eishloke Krishna Premer Kara Upadesh Krishna Raviraha Bhakter Bhava Vishesh. In this verse, Madhavendra Puri teaches how to achieve ecstatic love for Krishna. By feeling separation from Krishna, one becomes spiritually situated. And Madhavendra Puri had sown the seed of ecstatic love for Krishna within this material world, and he then departed. That seed later on became a great tree in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, actually, when he's narrating this pastime of Ramachandra Puri, he's telling, Prastave Kailun Puri Gosaira Nirnay Niryan, Ashuni Sei Bada Bhagyavan. I have incidentally described the passing away of Madhavendra Puri. Anyone who hears this must be considered very fortunate. And then he comes back to his original story. What was that? Ramachandra Puri Aiche Rahila Nila Chale Virakta Swabhava Kabu Rahe Konak Sthale. Ramachandra Puri then started staying in Jagannath Puri. And as is customary for those in the renounced order, he would sometimes stay at some place and then go at another place. But initially, Kaviraj Goswami began his narration where Ramachandra Puri had found faults with one of the associates of the Lord, Jagdanand Pandit. So this is what happens. When envy or that criticizing or offensive mentality is there, we don't approach seniors. We don't go directly to Krishna. First it begins with our near and dear ones, our God brothers, then it approaches Guru, and then it goes to Krishna himself. And this is what happened. That tendency was not limited. It was an unlimited tendency and propensity. Thus Puri Gosai, thus Ramachandra Puri stayed at Jagannath Puri. Then when Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, every day devotees used to invite him for prasad. And for Mahaprabhu to feed prasad, the amount that was required for any person was 320 kaudis, that is small conch shells. That was the amount required to feed Mahaprabhu and one or two of his associates. And when a person was not able to have that much money or not able to invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then what he used to do? Then he used to offer 4 annas. Every day the Lord would take his meal a different place, and if someone was prepared to pay for a meal, the price was fixed at 4 panas. It is not anas, 4 panas. That was, must be some currency that time, 4 panas. Prabhupada does not give any explanation of what pana is, here at least in this context. And then Ramachandra Puri that time started collecting information about the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because that propensity was there, the tendency was there to find faults. And now his target was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhura sthiti riti bhiksha shayana prayana Ramachandra Puri kare sarva anusthandana. Ramachandra Puri started gathering all sorts of information about how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was situated, including his regulative principles, his lunch, his sleep, and his movements. Because you need some base. When you want to offend someone, you need some masala for that. And Ramachandra Puri was in search of some masala so that he can cook a nice feast. So he was going here and there, searching for all sorts of information. Prabhura yateka guni sparshita narayla chidra chahi bhale kantha chidra na paila. He was trying to find all chidras, the loopholes in the behavior of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he was not successful. He was not successful. He was trying day and night, eagerly, intensely, to find some chidra, some loops, where he can enter inside and expand it completely. But he didn't find any loop in that. And then, when he was not successful, sannyasi hoya kore mishtan bhakshan ei bhoge hoy kaiche indriya varnan. He found one loop. What was that? Sannyasi hoya. But once you become a sannyasi, or when you are a sannyasi, when you do mishtan bhakshan, mishtana means sweets. Bhakshan, when you start eating sweets, ei bhoge bhaya hoye kariyache indriya varana. At last he found one fault. And what was that? How can a person in the renounced order eat so many sweetmeats? Because when devotees used to invite Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for prasad, and prasad, as our Gaudiya Vaishnavas are, it begins with shukto and ends with sweets, with rasgulla. So many sweets. Our feast is incomplete without sweets. But now our Sunday feast is incomplete. So, he is telling that sannyasi hoya kare mishtan bhakshan ei bhoge hoya kaiche indriya varan. He said, if one eats sweets, controlling senses will be very difficult. A sannyasi cannot control his senses if he eats a lot of sweets. And then he got this point. And then he said, ei ninda kori kahe sarva loka sthane. He got this point. And then what was remaining for him? To distribute this feast, this Mahaprasad, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's criticism. Ei ninda kori kahe sarva loka sthane prabhura dekhite he avashya aise prati dine. In this way, Ramachandra Puri blasphemed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before everyone. But nevertheless, he would regularly come and see the Lord every day. Why? So that he can find more masala. What else he is doing? Now this was one thing which he began with. And then, Prabhu Guru Buddhya Karena Sam Brahma Sammana Teho Chidra Chahi Bhule Eitara Kama. When they met, the Lord would offer him respectful obeisances. Even though the Lord knew, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew the activities of Ramachandra Puri, but he never showed it. He never manifested that, hey Ramachandra Puri, why are you coming here? Why are you blaspheming? Why are you criticizing me? Why are you finding faults? And why are you distributing these faults? Why are you manifesting your envy in the form of all these criticisms, discussions with all others? He never did that. He just considered him as the godbrother of his spiritual master, and he always respected him. He offered his respectful obeisances. However, Ramachandra Puri's business was just to find fault in the Lord. Yata ninda kore taha prabhu sab jane tathapi adara kore bada ei sambhrame. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was knowing that Ramachandra Puri was criticizing him before everyone, but whenever Ramachandra Puri came to see him, the Lord offered respects with great attention. Ekadina pratakale aila prabhur ghare. One day early morning, Ramchandra Puri came to the house of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Gambhira. And what did he see? Pipilika dekhi kichu kahe na uttare. Pipilika, they are ants. He saw some ants moving around in the house of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the room of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he got another thing. He said something to criticize the Lord. And what was that? He said, last night there was a sugar candy here. He said, therefore ants are wandering about. Alas, this renounced sannyasi is attached to such sense gratification. After speaking this way, he got up and left. So till now, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just hearing that this Ramchandra Puri is criticizing and blaspheming. But this was the first time when Ramchandra Puri dared to blaspheme or criticize the Lord right before him by telling that there were many sweets and that is why so many ants have come. Prabhura paramparaya ninda karyachena shravan. Till now Prabhu was just hearing the ninda. Etas ebe sakshat shunilena kalpita nindan. But this time he personally heard that criticism of Ramachandra Puri. And then Prabhupada writes in the purport that Ramchandra Puri could not find any faults in the character of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for he was situated in transcendent position as a supreme personality of Godhead. How can one find faults in the Lord? And he says, ants are generally found here and there. Even in our house also during summer, we'll find ants so many places. But does it mean that there are sweets, that somebody eaten sweets? But just because a tendency was there to find faults, what happens? Whatever you see, you try to find connection to justify yourself. Just like Maharaj was telling in Punayatra, that when you offend Vaishnavas, what happens? You fall down. You engage in some sinful activities. Maya pulls you down. But when Maya pulls you down, and when you criticize Vaishnavas, find fault with Vaishnavas, along with that, Maya also gives you all justification to prove that you are correct. She provides you with that. And here that was happening with Ramchandra Puri. Because he had that tendency, they're trying to find fault always in everyone and whatever is to see here and there. He just saw some ants which has no connection with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eating habits. But then he said, no. Ants are there when sweets are there. Sweets will be there when a person eats it. And that person is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He must have eaten sweets or he must have brought some sweets for his pleasure. And therefore so many ants have come together. That means he is eating sweets. And if he is eating sweets, he cannot be a sannyasi. He cannot control his senses. This whole connection, this whole picture was developed by Ramchandra Puri. This whole illusory scene, imagination, which would be the cause of his fall down, was being created by Ramchandra Puri. And then he says, Sahaja pipalika sarvatra bhedaya. Sahajika, normally you'll see pipalikas everywhere. But, tahate tarka uthaye doshe lagaye. Says, ants are generally crawling about here and there, everywhere. But Ramchandra Puri, imagining faults, criticized Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by alleging that there had been some sweetmeats in his room. Shunitata prabhur sankocha, shunitaha prabhura sankocha bhaya mane, govinda bolaye kichu kahe na vachane. And that time, Mahaprabhu was so much affected by the criticism of Ramchandra Puri that he called his personal servant Govinda and gave him some instruction. And what was that? Aji hoite bhiksha amar. Ei taniyam, he says, from today onwards, I am setting a new rules and regulations as my heating habits are concerned. Pinda bhogera eka chauti pancha gandhara vyajan. He says, from today onwards, it is a rule that I shall accept only 1/4 of the pot of Lord Jagannath's prasadam and only 5 gandhas worth of vegetable. He had reduced his diet. Imagine the Lord. The Supreme Lord is Supreme, Swatantra Ishwar. He has nothing to do with somebody. Somebody may criticize, somebody may glorify. He is unaffected by it. But just to set an example, that yes, this Ramchandra Puri is finding faults, so now let me reduce my diet. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reduced his diet because Ramchandra Puri had found faults in him. By seeing this, all the devotees, they became so much depressed. they were so much affected because the only pleasure, the only way devotees were happy was in seeing Mahaprabhu eat Krishna Prasad. Because as a sannyasi, he had given up everything. He was not into any material sense gratification. As for devotees, when we become devotees, we give up so many things. So many things which were addicted to, so many things which were liking. Right? But ultimately, what is the sense gratification for devotee? For prasad. Devotee is always, he gets all his likings at one point, that is prasad. And the same thing, devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also had. They were feeling, Mahaprabhu has given so many things, he does not sleep on the, he does not take any bed, he does not use any bed sheet, he sleeps on the ground. He just dances the whole day, he does not take proper care about himself. But at least there is one thing in which we can serve him nicely. And that was prasad. And when therefore they used to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so nicely. And Mahaprabhu used to accept prasad to his heart satisfaction. But when Mahaprabhu reduced his diet to such a low level, this affected Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this affected the devotees like anything. They told him that why are you taking his word seriously? That is nature, he always finds faults. But Mahaprabhu said, no, I cannot. Many times, sometimes people may indirectly give us, even in the form of blasphemy, people may give us some hints. And we always have to be positive. Even though people may blaspheme, rather than trying to justify yourself that you are correct and he is wrong, we can take it in a positive way. And Mahaprabhu took it in a positive way. He could have said, yes, Ramchandra Puri is a hopeless fellow. His nature is like that. I don't care for such a person. He could have done that. And he could have continued eating nicely. But he said, no. Let me reduce my diet. Let me reduce my quantity of prasad. And even Mahaprabhu stopped going to the house of others, places, devotees also to eat prasad. And even if he had to go, he would eat much less than what he had told also. And remaining, he used to give it to his servant that now you all eat it. And if somebody wanted to pay, initially it was 4 panas, now he used to take only 2 panas. He never used to take extra money for that, sponsorship. Only 2 panas for Mahaprabhu's prasadam. And all this, when it was continuing, Ramchandra Puri again, he came to know about this. That Mahaprabhu has reduced his diet. And then he approached. Ramchandra Puri approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what did he say? Again. Because that mentality has not ended there. The story has not ended. He says, Sanyasira dharma nahi indriya tarpan. The dharma of a sannyasi is not indriya tarpan. Means sense gratification. Yaiche taiche karo matra udhara bharan. Is telling that it is not the business of a sannyasi to gratify senses, but at the same time, yaiche taiche, some way or the other, what he should do? Yaiche taiche kare matra udara bharan. Some or the other, he should fill his belly. Some or the other. First, he's telling he should not indulge in sense gratification, but the other time, he's telling he should not keep his stomach empty, he should keep his stomach full and heat to its stomach's content. Fully. And then he says, Tomara Shina deke shuni karo ardhashan e suksha vairagi nahi sanyasira dharma. He's telling, I have heard that you have cut down your eating in half. Indeed, I see that you have become very skinny. You have lost weight. Such dry renunciation is also not the religion of sannyasi. So now he's calling Mahaprabhu's austerities to be a dry renunciation. This is again the seed. These are fruits. They are not a seed. The seed was sown when he instructed Madhavendra Puri. Now he is reaping the fruits of that in criticizing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord. It began with the Vaishnavas. It led to his Guru, and from Guru it extended to Krishna. Yatha yogya udhara bhare na kare vishay bhog sannyasira tabe siddha hoye jnana yog. A sannyasi eats as much as necessary to maintain his body, but he does not enjoy satisfying his senses materially. Thus, a sannyasi becomes perfect in his spiritual advancement in knowledge. These are the instructions he is giving to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then, quoting from Bhagavad Gita, he says those beautiful verses from Bhagavad Gita. नास्ति आसीनोपि योगोस्थि न चैकन्तम् अशंसत न चाति स्वप्नशीलस्य जागृतो नैव चार्जुन युक्तहार विहारस्य युक्तचेतस्य कर्मसु युक्तस्वप्नस्य बोधस्य योग भवति दुःखः. ही जस्टिफाइंग थ्रू शास्त्रिक रेफरेंसेज ऑल्सो दैट व्हाट यू आर सपोज टू डू. बट देन श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु टिल नाउ श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु इज नॉट टेकिंग ऑफेंस. ही स्टिल रिस्पेक्टिंग हिम इवन दो ही ब्लास्फेम्ड राइट ऑन हिज फेस क्रिटिसाइजिंग हिम फाइंडिंग फॉल्ट्स ऑन हिज फेस. व्हाट डिड महाप्रभु से? प्रभु कहे आज्ञा आज्ञा बालक मुहि शिष्य तो मार. ही सेज आई एम एन इग्नोरेंट अज्ञा बालक अ स्मॉल चाइल्ड एंड अ डिसाइपल ऑफ योर्स. प्रभु कहे अज्ञा बालक मुहि शिष्य तो मार मोरा शिक्षा देहो ए भाग्य अमार. इट इज माई ग्रेट फॉर्चून दैट आई एम रिसीविंग इंस्ट्रक्शंस फ्रॉम यू. यू आर सो मर्सीफुल टू मी दैट कंसिडरिंग मी एज आज्ञा एज अ स्मॉल ignorant person who has no knowledge. I am so fortunate to receive instructions from you. And eta shuni ramachandra puri uthi gela bhakta gane arthashana kare puri gosai shunila. Hearing this, ramachandra puri got up and left. This is how mahaprabhu expertly got ramachandra puri get out of that place, right? Now if Mahaprabhu had to sit and fight with him, hey, what are you speaking? Once you told like this, now you're telling like this. What do you think of yourself? Who are you to interfere with my life? You have such a bad character. You are such a hopeless fellow. Your reputation is so bad. Who would have done that? But then, when people blaspheme or criticize us, we can react in a different way. But the best policy is to take a position of humility. This is what Mahaprabhu is mentioning to his depicting through his personal example. Trinadabhi sunichena tarori vaseshnuna amani namani dena kirtanya sadari. What big sword cannot do, a simple humility can do it. The harsh words may not have the power to do that, but a simple act can completely change the whole scene. The way you react to opposite person's words, that may change this whole situation. Mahaprabhu just said, yes, I am Agya Balaka. I am your disciple, I am Shishya. I am so fortunate to receive instructions from you. Just by hearing this, Ramchandra Puri could not sit there. He just had to leave because there was nothing more for him to speak. And then, Eta Shuni Ramchandra Puri Uthi Gela Bhakta Gane Ardashanakari Puri Gosai Shunila. And hearing this, Ramchandra Puri got up and left. He also heard from various sources that all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were eating half as usual. Because when Mahaprabhu reduced his diet, even the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also reduced their diet. And then next day, seeing the condition of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees, they came together. Aradine bhaktagana saha paramananda puri prabhu pase nivedila dainya vinay kori. The next day, paramananda puri, another devotee approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and with great humility and submission, they said, Ramachandra Puri hoy Ninduka Swabhav. That Ramachandra Puri Swabhav is what? Ninduka is criticizer, blasphemer. Tare bole anna chadi kiba hoybe labha. That just by hearing him, you have given up your eating. What will you benefit out of it? What profit you are going to make, my dear Lord? Please give it up. Puri Raswabhav yatesta ahara karaya. ये ना कहो तारे खाओ यतन करिया. इट इज द नेचर ऑफ रामचंद्र पुरी दैट फर्स्ट ही लेट्स वन ईट एज मच एज इट डिजायर्ड एंड इफ वन डज नॉट ईट मोर देन नेसेसरी विद ग्रेट अटेंशन ही मेक्स हिम ईट मोर एंड मोर. द टेलिंग नेचर ऑफ रामचंद्र पुरी. खाओ या न पुना तारे करो या निंदन एता न खाओ तोमार कट ऐछे धन. इन दिस वे ही इंड्यूसेस वन टू ईट मोर देन नेसेसरी एंड देन ही डायरेक्टली क्रिटिसाइजेस हिम सेइंग यू ईट सो मच. How much money do you have in your treasury? He tells this also. You're a sannyasi, how much money do you have in your treasury that you're eating so much? This is also a big, a blasphemy, a point on a sannyasi to collect money. But how much money do you have in your treasury? And then, also by inducing sannyasis to eat much, you spoil their religious principles. Therefore, I can understand that you have no advancement. He says like that. In this way, he said, Ramchandra Puri's business was to inquire always about others, eating and conducting their daily affairs. The two kinds of activities rejected in the revealed scriptures constitute his daily affairs. The two kinds of activities which are completely rejected in the Shastras are the daily activities of Ramchandra Puri. What is that? Jai Sri Shraddha Gopinath Ki Jai. That one should glorify devotees and one should never blaspheme devotees. These are the two instructions which Shastras give. But Ramchandra Puri was not following the first instruction of glorifying devotees. The only thing he was doing is criticizing the devotees. And therefore, when he got this tendency, developed this tendency, to the extent that he started blaspheming Krishna, he had to leave Puri there after that some time. And this is what we see. When we think the spiritual master to be ordinary, from where the story begins, and then it extends to Krishna, then the offenses goes on increasing and increasing, and finally a person falls down. Therefore, rather than finding faults or considering Guru to be an ordinary, a simple person, if one can just engage in his service for his pleasure, then yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadat nagato kutopi. Just by pleasing him, one can achieve the topmost perfection of life, like Ishwar Puri, becoming a lover of Krishna and becoming a great devotee of Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.